Well, it's a joy to be with you again for Face-to-Face Ladies Bible Study here, and I trust that God is richly working in your lives. These are challenging days, but good days. I'm hoping in the next couple of weeks to give you some sense of when we can meet together again, and do pray for wisdom in that regard. Each aspect of reopening meetings has unique challenges to it, but we're believing God that we'll be able to actually be face-to-face soon, and so we look forward to that. Well, I want to do the second half of the chapter on the discipline of the mind. And this is a very interesting study. She covers much in it. In this second portion, I'm only going to give a perspective rather than try to cover all the material. It's worth your read, and I encourage you to do that. We saw last week how important it is for us to have a mind that is not just undisciplined and distracted. And it's also important we don't have a mind that's passive. That's not what the Bible talks about with meditation. It's not just opening our mind, because that certainly can be dangerous. Satan can influence our thinking if we are passive. We are to make a volitional choice to think on these things, as Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says. And God wants to, as we meditate on His Word and then choose to focus on that to understand, and then understand things that apply from that in our everyday life, God wants to renew our mind. That's the glorious reality of Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, where it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies, we talked about that, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Don't just let yourself be pressured to think a certain way, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that is a tremendous reality in our lives, to be able to have a mind that is renewed. It is spiritually transformed. And what a great blessing it is for us to start thinking right. And so I want to talk about this matter of a spirit-led mind that allows us to think the right things and to not let fear, anxiety, introspection, false guilt, wrong meditations, unholy thoughts come into our mind. Instead, it's wonderful to have a mind that is disciplined to think about the things of God. And of course, memorization of Scripture is vitally important when we come to this. This is a part of the Christian life that is so wonderful, to have truth that comes from the very heart of God that can be placed into our mind and heart by the Lord Jesus through the power of the Spirit. And God wants us to have Scripture. So memorizing Scripture, reading Scripture, praying regularly will definitely focus your mind. But then there is the need to think on the reality of our relationship of Christ, to have a renewed mind. And it's a wonderful thing to let our pursuit be of knowing Him and knowing about the things that are key for our lives. You see, we're in the middle of a spiritual battle, and we are the servants of the Lord Jesus. So we need to have this mind which was also in Christ Jesus. We need to have a mind that is humble. We need to have a mind that is controlled by truth, and a mind that is aware of spiritual danger, so that truth can be applied to some of the falsehoods that are thrown at us, and to be able to understand truth in a way to make a difference in the lives of others. And so she has a list here where she says, the disciple who means to compel every one of his thoughts to surrender in obedience to Christ would do well to test himself by asking. If we're going to be a person who is genuinely allowing the Spirit of God to focus us on the Savior and what's important to him, and to live out the very life of Christ, these are good tests. Number one, whose glory do I think? Seek. Whose glory do I think about and do I seek? This is very telling. You know, we really are very self-focused. We don't want to be. We're naturally that way. And so we need to ask ourselves, are we really living for the glory of God? Secondly, is this for or against the knowledge of God? Maybe something you're meditating on, a book you're reading, a conversation you're having, something you're listening to. Is this really wholesome? Is this good? Is this going to further my knowledge of God? Is this going to hurt me? And that leads right to number three. Am I giving my mind to wholesome precepts? Listen, there's a lot of stuff we can think about, and honestly, it's not that wholesome. It's not all that bad, but it's got a secular negative bent to it, or it has a emotional reaction to it, or it's of the lower, more base sort. We don't need to allow that into our mind. Number four, am I morbidly keen on mere verbal questions and quibbles? In other words, we like to know details, and we don't want to know what's going on, and we're just very curious about things, and we can be thinking about and listening to things that we ought not, and hearing things even about people or situations. The news certainly does that to us. Number five, is it more important to me to understand than to obey? Are we just intellectually prone to try to know things, or do we really want to be a servant of the Lord? Number six, is it more important to me to know than to believe? Do I understand that knowing is for the purpose of placing my faith in truth, and then transformation will come? Will one side of the question inconvenience me? In other words, as I'm thinking about something and evaluating it, do I avoid it because I don't really want to hear it? Or am I really willing to think something through objectively so the right thing can happen? And then finally, do I reject a particular truth because it will be inconvenience me? You know, there are things that God wants to tell us as we have our time with Him. There are things when we hear preaching, read books, in conversation, when someone exhorts us, that if we would meditate on it, it could be life transforming. But we learn to just push those things off. She talks about how we really can get into a type of thinking that is not clear thinking. Pragmatism, it's right if it works. Oh, that's so dangerous. Technical feasibility, science has found a way to do it, so let's do it. Instead of, is this God's will? Relevance, I can relate to this, but is it right? Comfort, I feel comfortable with this, but is that really the full surrender that God wants? Happiness, I feel happy about this, but is it really God's will? Moderation, I don't want to go to the extremes. Well, sometimes serving God is extreme. Obligation, I owe this to myself. I deserve this. Do we deserve anything? What is the best for God? Responsibility, it's my life, and so on. These are subtle ideas that are part of our culture today. And so there's a lot of things that we can make wrong evaluations about that can get us to really wrong thinking on some of the big issues of the day. You know, we look at some of the morality issues, some of the political correctness, and she lists some of that here in the book, and you can read it. And I'm amazed if you look at some of the surveys of evangelicals, and what we mean by evangelical is someone who believes that you're saved by faith alone in Christ. In other words, an evangelical is a person who claims they believe the whole Bible, and they believe that salvation is by faith in the finished work of Christ, and they say they are truly born again. That would be and evangelical. And you'd be amazed at the high percentage of evangelicals that take the wrong position on biblical issues, of morality, marriage, the whole matter of the way people ought to treat each other, and so on. It is a bit of a shock, actually, at how Christians can change in their thinking, even in the area of creationism versus some form of evolution, and having some aspects of a secular perspective, and yet a person will still say that they're born again. Well, what's happened? There has been, at this time, some very wrong meditating on things that one's heard, and there's not been the genuine meditating on the Word of God and evaluating what does the Bible say? What is it really all about? How do I take these things that are now so common in our culture and put them into the context of the Word of God? That's why we got to be thinkers. Listen, if you listen to the news all the time, I mean, we've just been through all kinds of news. Do you realize how many the two worldviews, how they're clashing today, even how to approach this pandemic? Where's God? Where's prayer? Where's the spiritual reality? Science is not God. We certainly use science. God gave us the power to think things through. But what really is the most important? And what about the values that we have? I'm amazed when I talk to Christians how often they have the wrong perspective. They have not been disciplining their mind to think biblically, to listen carefully, to evaluate, to communicate with others that know the Word of God, and there hasn't been the discipline to really focus in on what is the truth. And so it is amazing how we can get off on wrong thinking. She contrasts, she has a couple of lists here, which I think are very helpful, the carnal mind with the mind obedient to Christ, and I would say the Spirit-filled mind. And she has the carnal mind as a mind that is dulled, and that certainly happens when we are not quickened by the Spirit of God. Remember, the natural man does not perceive the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him. We find in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and then chapter 3, it talks about the carnal versus the spiritual. The reprobate mind of Romans chapter 1, the depraved mind, which just naturally goes to sin and self-fulfillment. The carnal mind gets set on the flesh. That's why Christians who do not walk in the Spirit, their mind can start going over things that they know are not right. In fact, can be even blatantly wicked. And it's just because they have not disciplined their mind under the power of the Spirit to set their mind, as Philippians 4 says, on these things, on what is right, what is virtuous, what is lovely, what is good report. These are things that we need to think about. And, you know, the carnal mind is hostile to God, as Romans chapter 8 says. It's at enmity with God. That's an amazing thing. And we need to realize that when we're not right with God, our mind's going to start thinking thoughts that are opposed to what's right and actually can get very rebellious. People that I know are Christians. It's amazing what they will come out with. Opposed to the purpose of God. Sees no further than just natural things. The outlook is formed by the lower nature, and sometimes it can be hard hearts, insensitive, set on earthly things, full of conceit, inflated by unspiritual imagination, tainted, diseased. Certainly that's characteristic of the lost mind, but it is characteristic of the carnal mind when we are not walking in the Spirit. But the mind that is like Christ is so different. It's vigilant. It's sympathetic. It's ready. It's eager. It's humble. It's spiritual. It has a spiritual discernment, reaching out after things of the Spirit. It has life. It has peace. It has a just perspective. It is devout, a fear of God. It is sound, sober, watchful. And as we've been talking about, self-disciplined and modest. The Bible talks about in James chapter 3 that The wisdom that is from below is earthy, it's sensual, it's demonic. And we don't want that. We want that which is from above. Well, there's so much that could be said there. I barely have really scratched the surface of this chapter. And I trust you'll look at it. You almost have to read it several times because she really goes into a depth of showing the nuances of how an undisciplined mind can really get out of line and can be a problem. Think about it, ladies. How many times have you just realized, wow, I went a few days and that thought process wasn't right. I didn't have the right attitude toward people. I started thinking about things I shouldn't be thinking about. I get a morbid sense. I get a fearful attitude. I just feel so empty. I feel so fake. You know, all of those kinds of things for genuine believers can be there if we are not allowing the Spirit of God to take the Word of God and just richly give us truth, give us discernment. And then we read literature. We communicate with godly people that just stirs us up. Every so often, I just need to read a strong, good book that just gets me set on spiritual things. Take more time in the Word of God. Listen to messages. That will be such a help. I encourage you to check out the Friday Nights for Freedom at 7 o'clock each Friday night, a webinar that deals with the right kind of thinking and how to overcome problems. That hour and 35 minutes will be a thrill to you, and you can call us here as far as how to register for that, or you can go on our website, and it'll be right there. It tells you how to register to be on that webinar. Things like that can be such a stimulation to your spiritual life. So let's don't let ourselves get all caught in wrong thinking. This is really a good subject for right now. And I think we all know what it's like when we're surprised that we actually got into that kind of thought pattern. So ladies, may the Lord bless you. You have everything you need in the Spirit of God indwelling you and the Word of God to illumine you. You can have freedom. You can think right. You can have the mind of Christ, who is all powerful. It's really amazing. Christ in us, the hope, the confidence of glory. And so may the Lord richly bless you as you allow the Spirit to control your mind and allow it to be used for your edification, which will allow your life then to be used for His glory.